now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus.
Magical!
Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Wildcat Scoop podcast. I'm your host, Jason Shear, joined by...
I'm sorry, what is happening right now? No.
What?
That's not how this goes.
Okay.
You kind of caught me off guard, and you did that on purpose. But hello and welcome back to the Wildcat Scoop podcast. I'm your host, Shelby Shear, here with...
Jason Shear.
And we decided to drop a bonus podcast just because of all the craziness that happened today.
I tried to trick you. Are you even ready for the podcast right now?
I was looking for something to make sure I mention it. And then you just started out of the blue.
Made Shelby cry before this podcast started. My mom just texted me, by the way, Shelby,
great,
that she's watching it now. We used to watch NCIS
religiously with Gibbs.
We haven't watched in years, but
Gibbs,
I guess,
left.
Tonight's a special episode for David McCallum because he died. And so I was...
And he played Ducky that don't know or
and
don't
I,
remember.
And I read Shelby the recap and I made her cry.
I was a little verklempt because, you know, Ducky, if you watch NCIS, was awesome. If you didn't watch NCIS, you missed out. It was great. But
the day all started, Shelby, with a dentist appointment, as all days do.
Right, for you, it feels like.
My first dentist appointment, I canceled. Weeks, we all know what happened. Then I did it, and then something else. I don't remember what it was, but news dropped. And then today, it was just to get my crown. That's all it was. It was a literal 20-minute appointment, in and out. And I sit down. And I look at my phone right when I'm about to get the x-ray going or whatever, and boom. Arizona has a new athletic director, Shelby.
Yes, they do. Welcome Desiree
Reed-Francois. Well, Shelby's looking for whatever she needs to look at. I'll blabber a little bit. We don't really have...
I already found it.
We don't really have questions. It's more of bullet points. Today was a freaking day. Few things. It's funny because Salim Headband, my guy, shout out to you because you knew. I know that you knew. Sometimes this happens.
Bless you.
And you can't say too much, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to get to her profile on Tuesday because I don't think Arizona's making an imminent hire. Robbins was around multiple boosters and other people this past weekend and did not give any indication that a hire was imminent. To the point where he had a meeting with Erica Barnes today and Mike Kendrea and a few other people, and that is when they found out that Arizona had a new athletic director. She is going to hold a press conference on Tuesday morning, so there's a good chance that by the time you listen to this, it's already official. From what I understand, one of the major criteria in all of this is that the Board of Regents said to Robbins, and you can believe this, not believe it, whatever. I'm just saying what I've heard. I don't know Desiree Reed-Francois. I have never met her. I've heard things, and we'll talk about it in a minute. I'm familiar with a lot of admin stuff. I have good sources, but it's not like coaching, so you know what I mean?
Yeah.
From what I understand, the Board of Regents told Robbins, look, we know there's certain candidates you like, such as Erica Barnes, such as a few others, but we want you to hire a sitting AD.
A legit sitting AD.
You need, like, that is what we are asking you to do. Go hire a sitting AD. Go hire someone that basically, you know, knows the lay of the land. We don't have time for people to adjust on the job. We need someone that will know the finances and be able to work as the athletic director. From what I understand, weeks ago, like Desiree, I'm just going to call her Desiree, whatever. We're on a first name basis.
DRF is kind of right. Her nickname, apparently.
So she graduated from Arizona with a law degree. From what I understand, she was, ironically, supposed to be on campus today weeks ago because she was going to talk to the law school. It just so happened that she got hired in the process. Look, it's an interesting, I think nationally it's very impressive because the picture that you're getting is that an athletic director left Missouri, an SEC school, and I don't think anyone argue the future of college athletics is the SEC and the Big Ten.
Right.
I think that is very clear, and it's all the other conferences are kind of trying to stick with them. The Big 12, in my opinion, is probably positioned third right now, right? And also what's interesting is Mac Rhodes, the Baylor AD, was also at Missouri and left for Baylor. So, and also in Arizona, a Tucson guy.
So Missouri is like a training ground for good ADs.
Now, she is, again, like she's experienced. She's going to talk. We're going to find. But she took a pay cut. Now, I say pay cut. She's still making $1 million a year. She took a $250,000 pay cut, which is a lot. 1.25 to a million. But Arizona still had the money to pay an AD $1 million a year. What's funny is Robbins had told people, and again, I'm not blaming, this isn't negative, but he had told people I tweeted about Mark Harlan, remember, early in the process, and I was like, Arizona can't buy him out.
Right.
There's no way. I don't know her buyout. I know that she pretty recently signed an extension with Missouri. I believe that it wouldn't surprise me if there was kind of a waving of a buyout of sorts. I don't want to say Missouri pushed her out. I don't know if that's accurate wording. But as I posted and as I tweeted, I believe, a couple weeks ago, there was a committee, a four-person committee, only one woman, I'm pretty sure. Three men, one woman.
Yeah, because I was in the car. I was like, I bet it was all men. But I wasn't right. There was one woman.
That was going to oversee all of Missouri athletics, that basically she was upgrading the stadium and got stuff approved, but they wanted to oversee it. She put Missouri in the surplus, budget surplus, for the first time in 6 years. And because of that, she kind of increased spending, because if you have more money, you're going to spend it. Well, now they want to know what you're spending it on.
To the penny.
And she basically said, from what I understand, and what people around her have told me, maybe I'm wrong, I don't think I am, but that she said, look, I'm very clearly successful. I signed our football coach to an extension. A lot of our Olympic sports are better. Basketball was good last year. I hired Dennis Gates. That was a solid hire. They're not good this year. I get it, but they were good when I hired them. Last year, if you remember, they lost to Princeton after Arizona lost to Princeton. Why are you up my ass, basically? Right.
Yeah, why does she need to be, handcuffed to these four people overseeing her?
So I don't know. I don't know if it's accurate to say Missouri pushed her out, but I'm not sure it's her just ditching Missouri. I believe there's a mutual aspect.
A mutual parting of ways that was convenient for everyone.
Right. That was very convenient for Arizona. Now, in terms of who she is and what she does, we'll start with her as a person. Mm-hmm. I have heard, and you have heard, both sides of the equation. I have heard that she's very hard to work for, and that she is very demanding. I have heard from other people that absolutely love her. There is no in between. Now, I will say that there is a lot of bullshit in the athletic department, and there's a lot that needs to be cleaned out. And certain people that have certain, and I haven't named them, and I'm not going to name them. It's not Erica Barnes. She should stay forever. But there are certain people in the AD that are holding certain positions that they have no business holding. And from what I understand, she did it at UNLV, and she did it at Missouri.
She cleaned house.
She cleaned house a little bit. She brought her own people in. And as well, you should. When Dave Hickey was hired, he brought in Derek Vanaway, and he brought in Crystal Swinhorse, and he brought in some other people, I believe. That's just the lay of the land. It's very hard for me to believe that Desiree is going to come in and be like, okay, everyone else is staying. Because you want to retool, and Robbins has been very clear, and I'll probably ask him tomorrow, that he wants to retool the athletic department. Well, you can't retool the athletic department and keep everyone around.
You can't afford to keep everyone around, and you also want your new AD to feel comfortable to be able to come in and make changes. And changes suck. Like, people are potentially not going to have jobs that have gotten very comfortable. So they're probably not super happy today. It's just the nature of change and progress.
So, like, for instance, and again, I'm not calling on anyone to be fired. I don't like speculating on job status. But, like, Arizona's CFO right now is Matt Hayes, who was hired by Jed Fish and then worked his way up into the admin. Well, if you look at Desiree at UNLV and Missouri, her financial person was William Wheeler. I would assume
she probably
wants to bring her chief financial officer with her. I don't know that for sure, right? It's an assumption, and it's something that multiple people pointed out, is that while she gets a lot of credit for the budget and surplus, and obviously she's been hired to help turn that around at Arizona, Wheeler played a very large role in that ability at Missouri. So that's something that I'll have a close eye on in terms of what she does. As her as a person, look, I have no idea. Again, I've never met her. I've known people that, you know, I remember, for instance, I'll just say names, I don't care. Dennis Poliant, when he was with Kevin Sumlin. Shelby knew that a lot of people have warned us about him and said he was a jerk and all that. Me and him got along very well. I liked him quite a bit, right? So there are people that I've come across that I don't like, that other people like, and vice versa. So, I think she's going to have to answer at the presser. And in general, she's had 11 jobs already, right? Now, with her, you can make the case up until this point that every job she's had has been an upgrade. But there's a little Jed Fishness to that, which is what we call it, where if you're at, like,
opportunistic,
right? And
but,
so,
you know, nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with that. And but she's going to have to answer, like, why did you leave Missouri? And I probably already know her answer. I have ties to Arizona. And when you look at her job, she's been a West Coast person and all, and she wants the challenge. And I'm just saying, like, there's going to be people there for, and I, Shelby has seen the comments that people sent. There's no in between, right?
Right. It's like, pretty black and white. Like, and here's the other thing too, is it fair? We don't know yet.
Yeah, right.
But this is Arizona's first female AD in its history. You know, the AD is typically a male dominated position up and down across the board. So, like, is the feedback on her being a bitch fair?
Right.
Is it, I don't know. It probably isn't. And just because, you know, she has to come in and do the hard job, she has to come in. She's not here to be the good guy at first. She needs to come in. She has a job to do as directed by Robbins, who is directed by the Arizona Board of Regents. So she's not necessarily going to be making friends right away.
And I fully acknowledge, too, I think part of it is there were other female candidates, right?
Yeah.
With more U of A ties, like Erica and you know, from what I understand, Robbins was apologetic and basically said, look, like,
you're just not a sitting AD.
You're just not that they, I have my orders, not someone to do. And then you have Stephanie Remp that, you know, who I floated around at Nevada, who's U of A ties. She's pretty good at her job as well. There's multiple people with U of A ties in the AD business. And like you said, it's going to be interesting if she does keep Erica around, and I don't see why she wouldn't. I can't see her being allowed to let go of Erica. I think that's probably more of an Erica choice. Your top two people in the athletic director are women. And that's going to be very, very interesting. And I also think that Arizona's in a position where coaching, and we'll get to this in a minute, isn't the priority. The priority is to modernize the AD and get it ready for the Big 12. And I've said this before, and you got questions on Twitter. What do you mean by modernize the AD? Well, one of the things that she is very involved with at Missouri was NIL. At the state level, Missouri passed a law in August of last year where once a player signed with Missouri, you could start providing them NIL opportunities. You did not have to wait for them to enroll. That was an advantage. If you look at Missouri's football recruiting classes, they are good, right? That's probably part of it. Is it all of it? No. Eli Drinkwitz obviously deserves a lot of credit there. But it's things like that. Like, you're going to have to get creative. And I'm not saying anything bad about Dave as a person. He wasn't great in the community. He didn't really want to be out there very much. And he wasn't really creative with the NIL stuff, right?
I think it was a little over his head.
Right. The NIL stuff was new. And someone told me, you know, no disrespect to Dave, but when you come from a place that he came from, Central Michigan, and you're Arizona's a big boy school, and there's an adjustment to be made. And Dave surrounded him with people that were making the same adjustment.
The small town choices.
And so everybody is making the same adjustment at once. Desiree is now coming from the SEC. So she knows the beast that is college football and all that. So, you know, we talk about coaching. She's not having to hire a football coach.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
We're going to talk about basketball in a minute. She's not having to hire a basketball coach. Has she had some successful hires? She extended Eli Drinkwitz. She didn't do great at UNLV, but I will say this. The women's basketball hire she made at UNLV was fantastic. The current coach there is fantastic, former player for Stanford. I'm very curious. I'll just leave it at that. Like,
when does her contract expire?
2026, I believe. But I'm very curious to see what happens with LaRocque and Arizona and Adia Barnes, because I don't want to get too far in the weeds, Shelby, and you're a strong woman, so I could say this, but strong women don't all the times get along with other strong women.
That's
and
true.
And Adia is very opinionated, and Desiree is probably very opinionated, and I'm very curious to see
that
relationship works out. Missouri softball, Missouri gymnastics, like these are things that became better
because she was there.
Because she, like, under her, and these were her hires. So, but again, like, she doesn't necessarily have that issue at Arizona. When you look at everything, no football change, no basketball change. Women's basketball, she doesn't need to necessarily change. That contract's got years. Caitlin Lowe, softball, I guess you're watching that closely, but they're off to a good start. Like, it's not
the high priority. That's right. Not her role walking in the door on day one. Like, on day one, her role is to start getting the lay of the land.
Yeah.
Get to, you know, get on the booster's good side and start turning the ship around on the financial side. And while she is doing that, we have to keep in mind, Robbins, his job is to deal with the rest of the university's financial stuff, which they've already started to do. And he's got the governor breathing down his neck at this point.
People have asked, like, hey, Jason, how do you think that relationship's going to work? I think Robbins has no choice but to step away from athletics for now. Take a step back. That's the real reason why he wasn't really seen
with Brett Brennan.
And he'll introduce Desiree. I think this is a different scenario because his job depends on it. And he's going to do what saves his ass. And her first job is going to be to clean this place up.
Yep.
Like, I would not be surprised if, and from what I understand, she has no problem being
the bad guy,
but I'm just warning people, it would not surprise me. And look, I think your average person probably doesn't care, unless it's like Erica, right? And I don't think it'll be Erica, but I don't be surprised if you hear about layoffs and positions disappearing and stuff like that, because that's her job.
It's the nature of the beast. They're going to consolidate positions. Maybe you don't need three admins, or maybe you don't need so many ticket holders, or maybe you do need... I did read something interesting. I think it might have been from you or from Pete Thamel, is that she was really innovative in the front ticket office and the way that the fundraising teams were put together, which is obviously a testament to her running her Missouri department in the surplus this year.
Well, when you look at Missouri's senior leadership team, it's her as director of athletics. Then she has a woman, Rachel Blunt, as a senior associate at the SWA. Then she has a associate director of athletics for marketing and fan experience.
Oh, I like it. I think Arizona has that.
Right. But then, like, she goes down and it's football. It's like she has quite a few director of athletics is what they're called. Now, with that being said, like they have a director of athletics, communications, and storytelling. Right, like
that could just be consolidated into marketing.
Right, so in at Missouri, but the big one I'm curious is obviously William Wheeler. That's her guy, senior associate director of athletics, finance, and analytics. I would assume if it's not him, and I have a gut feeling it is, I'm not going off anything, I don't know, but that's going to be her first hire. She's going to figure out, and it's going to be someone that she can trust because it needs to be cleaned up.
Well, it's like Brent Brennan brought Ben and brought like his first, whole team.
Right, first you bring everybody in sports has that one person. Like when Dave came, it was Derek. When Greg Byrne came, he had a guy. When Brent Brennan came, it was Ben Theanis. And, you know, when Jed Fish came, it was Matt Hayes, who's now in the AD. Like, everyone has that. Sumlin had Polian. Every single person.
Like peanut butter and jelly.
Rich Rod had Mike Parrish.
It's like Shelby and Jason.
Yes.
Yeah, so and Mike.
She's got that person. It's just a matter of, like, are they coming? Or, and my assumption would be yes.
Okay. Well, I think we covered as much as we can at this moment about it. Hopefully we gave some little more insights than you've seen or heard elsewhere about her. But it is exciting. It's an exciting day to have someone. And one thing I've seen too, like, who cares if she only stays for 3 years, 3-4 years? Like, you know, like this longevity thing that everybody wants to have, you know, for coaching, like, because we're spoiled with Littleson. You know, we've had Candrea for years and years. But, like, you know, Greg Byrne moved on. He got things done and he left.
People think, like Jed Fish left. We all knew Jed Fish was leaving. It was that we all thought he was leaving next year, right? It was the way he left. But we always said, or I always said, like, if a coach leaves in a better position, so be it. Like, if Desiree comes in, fixes the AD, gets him in the surplus, hires a couple coaches, that comes up, everything's hunky-dory, and then she goes on to a Big Ten school, whatever it may be.
Good for her.
Good for her, right? Like, so be it. This also isn't a coaching situation where if she leaves, she's taking everything with her.
Right. This is a CEO is what you're looking at, basically. And so we're going to find out. Anyway.
This was the day. So the next item, Shelby.
Item number two.
Tommy Lloyd signs a lucrative 5-year extension. Woo-woo. So it was funny because I was on Mike's show earlier in the day, like 2 hours before it got announced.
Yeah, you guys went 11 a.m.
Right. And I said to Mike, I go, look, like after the ASU game, he said he values being at Arizona. Like he realizes the value Arizona has on him and he values. And I said, you don't make comments like that on, what's the word? I always get it confused. Unsolicited. Unsolicited.
This is the third time we've had this conversation today.
Unless you mean it. Like, there was no reason at that time
for him to say it.
And he has said almost in every presser since the original. Remember, there is an extension that was taken off. So, from what I understand, the extension that was taken off was actually the 1-year rollover because of whatever. So, Tommy and his agent said, forget the 1-year rollover. This is where I want to be. Let's just get the big deal done. And that's what Tommy said at the time. He was very forthcoming. And like every presser since then, he's had a quote that says how happy he is to be here.
Yeah, and there's a big A on his pickleball court.
Right? And then today, it's like, boom. You had an interesting question. You said, who gets credit for it? Is it Mike Candrea or is it Robbins? And I said, it's probably the guys paying his contract, which is the boosters. This is a completely donor-funded contract. And Tommy Lloyd is legit friends with most of the boosters. Like, he plays pickleball with the boosters. He hangs out with the boosters. He may not be this guy where, you know, you see him all over the place and he's blowing smoke up everyone's ass and all that, Jed Fish. But what I'm saying is, like, by the way, and I just want to say this one thing about Jed because I'm tired of talking about him, right?
Yeah.
This was a donor contract. The same thing that Jed Fish had.
He had it. He in had his
it.
Hands.
It was raised 100%. The promissory notes thing is made up. It's fake, right? The MOU thing is fake. This was a Tommy Lloyd, donors, whatever, raised contract. And Mike Luke texted me and goes, did you notice that these are the same terms that Jed Fish's contract were?
Yeah.
Like, to a T. So the whole thing with waiting and the ABOR and all that, this contract still hasn't been approved by ABOR, but it will. That's why they announced it. They know it will. It's donor raised. It now makes him, I think, the 6th highest paid coach.
Number 6.
And the second highest in the Big 12 behind Bill Self. It is a 5-year deal. I don't know the buyout, but a lot of times the buyout is just the remainder of the contract, which in this case would be $20 million to buy out Tommy Lloyd. No one except for Kentucky is paying $20 million to buy out a coach. And Tommy Lloyd's not going to Kentucky. So the thing is with him, like,
Or Washington, by the way. There's a little rumor about that floating around.
Tommy Lloyd is what you see is what you get. Like, there's no BS with Tommy Lloyd. When he says he is happy in Tucson and his wife is happy in Tucson, they are happy in Tucson. You can catch Tommy Lloyd at a bar once in a while and Bob Dobbs drinking a beer. And he just walks in, sits down, has a beer, talks to a couple people, and walks out. Like, he's very comfortable where he is. And he said it when he took the job, and it wasn't bullshit, that basically Arizona was the job that he had his eye on. And he had opportunities throughout the years to leave for other jobs, and he didn't do it. And he's not the type of guy, like, he's not a job hopper or anything like that. Like, this is what he's going to do. They're recruiting well. He has what he needs. He has friends. He's well compensated.
Great weather.
Great weather. You know, he's at peace
with
everything.
Elite program.
He had, you know, great practice facility. What's the one thing he's probably going to want more of? NIL money. What's the one thing he's probably going to get more of? Now, NIL money, right? Because that's what every head coach wants. But beyond that, and like he even said, like, the other night, Saturday, it wasn't about beating ASU by 45 necessarily, right, Shelby?
Right.
Christian Coloco came back for the Ring of Honor.
It was awesome.
Joseph Blair, Jason Terry, walk-ons like Jordan Maids, Justin Kier, Kyle Fogg, who didn't play for, like,
It's just the legacy. You can't duplicate that anywhere.
Like, there's very few places. Like, Ben Mathurin comes to be in the Ring of Honor. Who does he bring? The entire freaking Indiana Pacers.
Kevin Durant
is just chilling baseline. Like, you don't, like, there's very, Kentucky is the only school that probably can put that on right now. Right?
Yeah,
and Kansas, if you want to say Kansas too, but.
I've not heard of that tradition where it's just normal, like a rotating door.
Right, like there's very,
like Brennan, the football coaches at the basketball game. You know, the football team is at the basketball game frequently.
And we always go back, what's the most distinct, and I know I'm biased, but what is the most distinct cheer in college sports?
Bear down, Arizona. Oh, U of A.
It's U of A.
Yeah, U of A.
Like, you turn on the TV no matter where you are, and you're watching a game and Arizona's winning, it doesn't matter if the game's on the road. It doesn't matter. Like, you watch the game at Colorado, and you hear U of A chants.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Vegas is U of A, Bill.
U of A. Oh, like, Vegas is Wildcat country.
Right? Like, it's just, it's a different vibe, and kudos to whoever. I don't know who got it done. I think the Boosters, they deserve the most credit. But
kudos to all the people behind the curtain.
Big deal. Great day. Great time.
We're keeping Tommy.
Arizona has the right dude. And I know people, Andre Veritz was mad at me. He emailed me and he said, why do you and Mike keep bringing up Tommy's lack of postseason success? He's only had two postseasons. And one of them was, and it's like, look, I get what you're saying. And, you know,
because other people are bringing it up.
It takes time. I think this is a big year for him. But yeah, I mean, he is the right dude for this job. Because I always say this, there's always an idiot, and there's very few morons that would say Tommy's not the right guy. So you always ask yourself, if Tommy's not the right guy,
who is?
Right? And who is? Like, is Tommy the best coach in the country? That's up for you. I'm sure most people would say Bill Self is.
I mean, he kind of won that a couple years
ago. Right, and if you want to say Bill Self is better, there's a few others. I completely get that. But who would I rather want running my program? I'm not sure, again, from probably a biased point of view, that there's anyone I'd rather have running my program than Tommy Lloyd. Because I also look at a lot of these coaches and they're embarrassing themselves, right? Like, Cronin is a good coach. He's a good coach.
Yeah.
He's an effing maniac. I would never want him running my program.
Patino today was basically saying
my players are slow and shitty. My bad guys.
This was a bad year for me.
Yeah, like, no. Like, great coach, but, like, come on. But, like, Tommy, I wish Tommy sometimes would throw players on the bus, and he really doesn't. Like, he's, again, what you see is what you get from him. And I think he fits Tucson and the whole vibe in Tucson very, very well.
We're kind of particular people. All right, so that happened. And then another thing happened. Like, wasn't it right in the middle when you were on that emergency?
Yeah, so I did an emergency podcast.
Emergency podcast with Mike, PHNX, twice in one day. And then, in the middle of it, Arizona football received a commitment from linebacker Jabari Mann.
Jabari Mann. I typed it. That's my fault.
You typed it wrong, yeah.
He got out of his NLI last week, and once that happened in a dead period, everyone knew. So, a dead period, I want to make sure people know, once you get out of the NLI, you could talk to other coaches, and when you're in a dead period, you can still talk to coaches. You just can't visit. Once he did that, everyone knew where he was going. He was a guy that had a very close relationship with Brent Brennan, Alonzo Carter, Danny Gonzalez liked him quite a bit upon watching film. This was a very easy grab for Arizona. I asked Brandon Huffman how good he was, and he said that he went from an 82 to 88 in ratings. Basically, he would be like the third. He's the third highest commit Arizona has left in this class.
That's awesome.
So
Jabari.
He is a guy.
We're just having issues tonight.
He's
a guy
that is a kind of a tweener. He's not the fastest player, but he's got, as I like to say, he's got some shit to him, where he's tough. And he's you never heard that before?
I would just say he's got that dog in him.
Yeah, same thing. Where, like, he's tough, he'll talk a little smack, but he's going to lay you out. And so, you know, it's guys like that that get...
True grit!
Well, they've got them overlooked, and then like a Jacob Manu.
I love it.
And then Arizona lands him, and they turn out to be awesome.
Three-star Scooby.
I would not be surprised at all if Jabari Mann contributes as a freshman. I really would. It would not surprise me at all. It's a very nice pickup.
Awesome. And then earlier in the day, somewhere in the middle of all the craziness, the rankings came out for basketball. And Arizona basketball is now ranked fourth in the United States of America.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That's fair.
I don't know what's going on as we're recording this in the Houston game.
We were watching the Houston game.
You know, if Houston loses and Arizona wins and sweeps this week, I think they'll move up. But four's fine. In reality, we're at the point of the year where Houston's up 9 with 2 minutes, so they're going to win. We're at the point of the year where, in reality...
Just stay in the top 10.
The top 25 doesn't really matter anymore. It doesn't. Like, it's seeding. Now we're talking about seeding. So Arizona being 4 is cool. If Arizona loses a game and drops to 6, who cares? I'm still looking if they're a 1 seed.
Right.
Right, like that. We're at that time of the year where rankings are... I just don't think rankings are as cool as they were a month ago. Right?
Yeah.
Like, because now it's like, I don't care. I'm looking at seeding, location, and all that. But, yeah, I mean, you just look at Arizona and who's playing better basketball right now, and it's probably only UConn, in my opinion. But this is a big week. We're not going to discuss it too much, but...
yeah, we will have a preview podcast, obviously, for Washington State, who are playing at McHale at 9 o'clock, the premier time of day.
It's funny because it's 9 and then Saturday is 12. I got Shelby and Brielle.
Yeah, I got tickets.
Got tickets, so.
I talked a little shit on the Pac-12
My wife
tweet,
never.
Twitter today about how great this game is and, oh, it's a ranked matchup and yay. And it's like, yeah, it's at 9 o'clock.
And also, Shelby.
Also.
We would be remiss if we didn't shout out some players real quick.
Woo, Pac-12.
Arizona baseball left-handed pitcher Jackson Kent was the first Pac-12 pitcher of the week.
Woo-hoo.
What's funny, Shelby, is this is now the third consecutive season that an Arizona pitcher has won Pac-12 Pitcher of the Week to start the season. He started opening night against the number 23rd in the country, Northeastern, went 6 innings, struck out 8 batters, allowed 1 run on 4 hits. Very good performance by him. And then, Shelby, softball Regan Shockey, Pac-12 Freshman of the Week, for the first time in her career, obviously, freshman from Chino Hills, California, hit a paltry 688 with 11 hits and 8 runs. Arizona softball beat Arkansas last week. She scored the winning run to walk off the Razorbacks on Friday night. She had 2 hits in 5 of Arizona's 6 games, had 2 RBIs in 3 games. She leads the conference and is 10th in all of college softball, and batting average at .517, third in the Pac-12 and in the nation with 15 hits. It's a great day.
It was a great, unexpected President's Day. Usually Mondays are quiet. They
just
weren't quiet.
Just another manic Monday.
Just a little quick note. Our buddy AlexR64 dropped a really awesome, famous compilation video today of the Arizona versus Arizona State basketball game. If you haven't seen it, you can find it, at AlexR64_ on the Twitter. And then thank you so much to friends of the show, Lance Lynn and Cheryl, who bought mugs today, and also Randy as well. So thank you so much, everyone, for supporting us, and, you know, hopefully you enjoyed our surprise podcast. We don't normally do unless there's something horribly, I guess horribly is not the right word, wonderfully newsworthy, I guess.
Depends on Shelby's mood. She's very erratic.
I'm erratic.
Not me. I'm very even-keeled.
Wow. I really get that from our interactions. Brielle's
now
podcast.
Yelling at me while playing Fortnite, as we just realized that our daughter's up at 9:30 at night.
Yeah.
She's smart. She stays up and plays video games quietly while we do the podcast and don't pay attention to her.
Yep. So she's going to go to bed now, and we are going to let you go and enjoy your night or day when you listen to this. And as always,
just another manic Monday.
No matter where you go or what you do or how many ADs you hire or, you know, what your ranking is, you can always bear down.
You know, Shelby, it's kind of funny.
What,
there's a few people that look at my follows on Twitter mm-hmm. and then follow them.
That's
and
true.
I knew that. So last night, you were right by me. I followed Desiree because I was going to write a profile and I had a hunch, you know, things were moving. And then I was like, you know what? I can't do this. It'll smoke. So I unfollowed Desiree. So now you all have to watch for my follows and unfollows.
And fun fact, she followed Jason 2 days ago.
Yeah. No, this morning.
This morning.
You followed me 2 days ago.
It was just, yeah. We just met each other.
Thanks for finally following me.
You're welcome.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.